Oh, yeah?
Chris Rock is wearing glasses now that make it look like he went finished high school. He's got, like, you know what I mean? He's wearing, like, hipster glasses.
Yes. And he looks like he finished high
school. Yeah, he looks like he finished high school, and he should be wearing, like, a scarf. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I want to kick off with something I found in the New York Post today.
What, you kick off like a swimmer against the wall?
Yes.
Okay.
I've come back and then I've done that little thing where they twirl over, which I can't do. Yeah, I always just go, stand up quickly, and then go back.
Right, right. Why do you have to do a flip? It's disorienting.
I think maybe there's a rule that your feet can't be on the bottom of the pool when you're doing a race.
Oh.
That makes sense. Otherwise, people would just hoof it. And right. Then when it got too deep, they would start to swim.
Well, you'd have to have aqua socks on if you want to hoof it.
Do they do that now?
Have you ever run in a pool without aqua socks on?
I've tried to do water aerobics, and it's very, very hard. Did you run in a pool without aqua socks?
Yeah, it's a little damaging.
You're like, I do it all the time. I injure myself regularly.
Yes.
So this was in the New York Post. It says, polls to strip, and they have quotes around strip, away loophole. So apparently, it's been possible in New York to cash your welfare checks or get your benefits, sorry, your welfare benefits out of an ATM.
Oh.
In gin joints and strip clubs. Now,
well, if you're already there, it's just
that's
common
what I'm
sense.
Saying. I mean, there are lots of ATMs where you can receive your welfare benefits, but there happen to be some in what they're calling gin joints. I guess this is like in the 20s.
Yeah, I guess. You get in your time machine yes. after you get your check and then...
You have to say, like, you know, alabaster or whatever to get in, and then you can get your welfare payment. So the government doesn't like it, and it's a part of, apparently, Obama's Middle Class Tax Relief and Job Creation Act that says that all states have to remove these welfare-ready ATMs from strip joints. Casinos, liquor stores, and
strip clubs.
The strip clubs.
Well,
what if that's all you have?
What if you're living in the hood with yes. this around you?
Yes, and that's all you have. Like, I don't see a problem with it. Like, really? Like, those guys, if it weren't in the strip club, they'd be like, you know what? I'm not going to the strip club.
Right, what about, so they can go to the ATM next door to the strip
exactly.
club
and
then go back
in. Exactly, and then scamper across to the strip club.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. But if the city doesn't do it, they'll get fined.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading a little further. They also want to stop it from, like, porn shops. Where I'm like, you need money. In a porn shop.
Yeah.
And hookah parlors. I didn't know that we had a lot of those.
Well, you know, they're like a Starbucks. They're
yes.
on every corner, the hookah parlors.
Yeah,
right?
With the Bedouins hanging around them. So it says New York welfare recipients get $433 in monthly cash if they have a family of four. I'm guessing those people aren't the ones at the strip clubs. It's probably the single people, and they only get $158. Why not? You need to be in a bar.
Yeah.
If that's all you're getting.
That's all you have.
$158 for a stripper? That's not very much to give to somebody. But it's just so bizarre that it's like that level of control over people. Like, you're going to stop guys from going to these elusive gin joints. You know, the hookah bar people.
Right.
The strip clubs. Now they're going to have to go to, I don't know, a bodega? Like, that's better?
Yeah. You're going to get some quarter waters.
Some quarter waters. Some porn. A blunt. I don't know. I just thought it was weird. That they actually...
A couple of Lucy's. Yeah.
They actually
took... A Lucy is one cigarette
yeah,
that you
one.
Can buy for those that are not in the know.
And they're a dollar.
I didn't know that.
They're a dollar now.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? They used to be a quarter. So kids are suffering because of that. But
so
yeah, I
a
just
loose
think
cigarette
it's,
is a dollar?
It's a dollar.
Nowadays?
Yes. You can't even... I don't smoke anymore. I smoked for 10 years and I quit a long time ago. But you don't see people bumming cigarettes anymore because they're so expensive. You ask someone for a cigarette, they're smoking a cigarette. They're like, I don't smoke. Or you'll see them with a pack. They're like, it's my last one. I'm like, it's a full pack. Yeah. I just saw you take the cellophane off.
Yeah, nobody can bum a smoke anymore.
It's too expensive, especially in New York. I just think it's weird they wrote this into the job creation.
That's like if you're drinking a soda. You got a soda?
Can I get a sip? Which I've heard before.
Oh.
Yeah. Only on 125th Street.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting that that's what our government's focused on. They want to make sure that people who are on welfare do not get their money at a strip club, at a gin joint, at a hookah bar.
Katie
does not
know. That
was
really great. I'm glad that you brought that in. That's
It's salient information.
Right.
We're bringing you the news, people. So the next time you go to that strip club or, I want to say juke joint because it's all at a date also, to that gin joint.
In your zoot suit.
In your zoot suit? When you roll up there with your Tommy gun.
Yeah. And everyone thinks you're the bee's knees.
Yes. And you said the right password, and you're going in, you're swilling some bathtub gin. Don't think you're going to get your welfare money. That's what I'm saying.
Make a stop.
Yeah. Stop at the bodega.
All right, next door.
Next door, yeah. Awesome. So we got some listener mail. We're getting a lot of listener mail in 2013.
We are. It's coming at us in like
buckets. There's tons of it. And we're going to bring you one gem.
And we have our postal carrier.
Yeah.
Who probably will bring it to us.
I hope so. I almost went to the post office today, but there was one person in line. I was like, forget it. Even though our post office is very efficient. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, ugh.
Okay, so what happened? This is the listener email that we have from Yusuf C.
Okay, cool.
And I have to preface it by saying we had a segment where we talked about the Slender Man.
Yes.
The Grobman. And so it is a mythic creature that lives in the woods and will...
it's a legend. Like a centaur. It has the body of a tree and the heart of a snake.
Right. No, it's this creepy guy in the woods who will get really tall and grab you and rip out your heart.
Yeah, and it's like a country urban legend.
Right, exactly. So we talked about it on one of our previous episodes. And so Yusuf wrote in and said, I listen to your podcast regularly. I enjoy it.
Cool.
You guys are very conversationally funny.
Okay, I like it.
Anyway, The Slender Man is a video game from last year that everybody has been playing that is scaring the bejesus out of everyone.
Okay.
You guys made no mention of the game in connection to the urban myth, so I thought I would let you know, and then sent us a link to it so we could see what the game was like.
Did you follow the link?
I did. I followed the link, and then he closes by saying, have fun, listen to you next week. Smiley face. Thank you, Yusuf.
Right? Yeah, I didn't see the link. I'm going to go check it out. Was it scary?
No. Well, it was two best friends playing video games, and apparently they...
In the video game.
No, they have a video camera on the TV, and they sit off camera, and they play the video game and talk to each other.
Okay.
And it's their thing. And it was like 16 minutes long. And they played it. And there, of course, was the Slender Man in his suit and tie.
In the game?
In the game, yeah. So they're going through the woods and they have only a flashlight. And they're shining it on the trees and then there's like an abandoned building and they go in there. And if the Slender Man sees you before you see him, then you're dead.
Okay. That's right, because you can't look at him.
Right, you can't look at him.
Or he can control your body. He'll be sticking his fingers down your throat and whatnot.
He'll ask you a question first.
Oh, that's right.
He'll take it. So the Slenderman, what it does, if he catches you, he takes control of your body and you wake up in the spot where he died originally.
And you're as he went with your arms stretched out.
Yeah. And then he has that log, the 547-pound log that he has suspends
he
over your head.
At people.
Yeah, it's over your head. So then you're like, what? And then he asks you a question.
But I think the deal was you're lucky if the log drops on you.
Basically.
That's like a better way to go.
Right.
All right, cool. I'm going to follow that link and check it out.
Yeah, check it
out. Thank you, Yusuf.
And then so we answered Yusuf and thanked him. And we also sent him a shot glass because that's what you get when you write us.
Exactly. You get a shot glass. Celebrity Corner, and Katie is going to perform our discount celebrity. Discount celebrity is when you're trying to make a movie, times are tight like they are now, you're in Hollywood, you're a producer, and you want an A-lister, and you just cannot afford that person. So we're going to give you some options for the B, C, D, E, F, Billy Zane, everybody, whatever you got. If you have $5 million, if you have $500,000, if you have $5,
right.
We got someone for you. So who do we have today? I'm excited.
Today... Now, this was actually brought to our attention from the Black Guy Who Tips.
Oh, cool.
This is a while ago.
Rod and Karen.
Rod and Karen went ahead and said, hey, we've got discount celebrities for you.
Okay. Even though they claim that they don't like segments, they are really good at giving us segments.
Yeah,
we'll take your segments.
Right. So basically, they started off, they said, the A-lister is going to be Bill Burr.
Is this a three-way?
This is a three-way.
Oh, nice.
I've turned it into a three-way,
nice.
You guys.
Yeah.
Because they first wanted...
That's Rod and Karen style.
Yeah.
The three-way.
So Bill Burr is a comedian, and he has orange hair.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's 5'10". He was born June 10th, 1968. He's from Massachusetts.
Okay. I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah.
He seems a lot more grizzled. Maybe it's just
it's because his genres are cringe humor, black comedy, satire, and observational comedy.
Yeah, you can't do that when you're young looking.
Yeah, his website is billburr.com.
Mm-hmm.
He
Fitting.
Likes, yeah.
Fitting.
He's been doing stand-up since 92.
Okay.
And his subjects are dating, men's rights, race relations, political correctness, and professional sports.
What is men's rights?
Men's rights.
I just think of a bunch of men... Like, stripped naked to the waist, like, chanting in the woods, something wolf-related.
Yeah.
Like a men's circle.
Yeah, like a
men's group.
Yeah, like, what was it? John something? There was a men's group.
Yeah, like, we are men.
Yeah.
And we need, okay, men's rights.
Yeah, we don't. So
which
I
think are all the rights that exist.
Yeah. Right? Like, so just reiterating the obvious is what he's doing.
Just making sure they get them, which is fine.
So his father was a dentist, and he actually worked as a dental assistant for a while.
Can you imagine him in your mouth like that? No thanks, Bill Burr. He's a little too harsh for me.
Well, a young Bill Burr. A young, fresh-faced 20-year-old Bill Burr.
I don't know.
Holding your mouth open with a dental dam?
I have to say, Bill Burr and dental dam, those words probably usually don't go together. No, I don't want to imagine that. I don't like going to the dentist anyway.
Well, he went to Emerson College, majored in radio.
Can you do that nowadays?
I don't think so.
It's closed. It's like media.
Yeah. He performs over 300 shows a year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot. And he had two movies in 2006. He's been on The Late Show with David Letterman, Late Night with Conan O'Brien, The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien. That's
different. And basically, if Conan O'Brien had a show, Bill Burr was on it.
Right. He's been on The Chappelle Show. HBO had a special one-night stand. He's been on the Opie and Anthony Show and Comedy Central. You know, and he had a sitcom for a little while. I forgot the name of it, but he had it, and it was a short-lived deal.
I can't imagine how that sitcom would go with Bill Burr.
Well, you know, the thing is, I like him a lot. He has a special entitled "You People Are All the Same."
Mm-hmm. I agree.
another one called "Let It Go."
I live by these. These are my mottos. You people are all the same. Let it go.
His brother, Robert, is a selectman from Canton, Massachusetts, and was briefly a candidate to fill Ted Kennedy's seat after he died.
But he didn't make it.
I guess not.
Against a dead man. That's pretty harsh. Couldn't his brother help him out?
I think it was after he died. It's like, who's going to fill this?
Not me. And not Bill Burr's brother. That's for sure.
And he's been on AMC's Breaking Bad as Kubi.
Cool.
Yeah. He has a podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast, and he has a weekly show.
Yeah, and you could listen to his show right after you listen to ours if you want.
And he also appears as guests on other comedians' podcasts, such as The Adam Carolla Show, The Joe Rogan Experience, and WTF with Marc Maron.
Okay.
And The Nerdist.
Wow.
And Nobody Likes Onions. It's another show.
Oh, apparently. It's a show. I'm like, why are you just throwing that in? It's personal.
Mm-hmm. And he stepped in for a sick Kevin Smith on a show called Hollywood Babylon.
Kevin Smith, the guy who got kicked off the plane?
Yeah.
Okay. Also known as the guy who made Clerks, I guess is another way to think of him. Wow. I guess that could happen to celebrities. One small thing.
I know, really. All right. So did I mention he's 5'10"?
Yeah.
So, and I think it's a true 5'10", because I don't think comedians lie about their height.
Why would they?
They don't have any recourse. Yeah. So usually all actors who say they're 5'10 or 5'8, mm-hmm. according to us.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But here I think he's a true 5'10.
I do too. I think what comedians talk about mostly is the size of their members. They exaggerate about that. Right. But height,
And sex all the time. Plus they're always having sex with somebody.
But if you're doing stand-up in front of people, you can't lie.
Yeah.
You're right there. You know what I mean? In front of people, up, standing. They can see.
So he lives in Los Angeles with his girlfriend, Nia Hill, since 2005. And he has a pit bull.
No information about his dog is the next thing.
His pit bull is named Cleo.
Okay.
And there they are. They do their thing. And so the podcast, he renounced his faith in Catholicism.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but
that's so unusual for a Catholic.
Right. And he hasn't really switched over to anything else. So he just is like, I don't know what I am, but I know I'm not Catholic.
So we should just wait for the next pronouncement.
Right. I just wanted to start with what Karen and Rod sent us.
Okay.
And they said Bill Burr was the A-lister over Christopher Titus. You know Christopher Titus?
Yeah, he had the show Titus for a minute.
I know. I remember
maybe
watching
2 minutes.
Yeah. He is 6'2".
He is huge. And he is a giant. He looks like Tony Robbins on crack on Tony Robbins.
Well, he had a really disruptive, and that's putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Childhood.
His act was about that.
Yeah, his act was all about how his father was a womanizing, beer-guzzling salesman.
Mm-hmm. In that order.
And he had a series of different stepmothers. And his mother, his biological mother, unfortunately, was very ill. Mm-hmm. She had a mental illness, and she was in and out of different
facilities.
Hospitals. Yeah.
Did he know her?
Yeah, he knew her.
Okay.
He knew her. And which is really sad. And it's very sad because even if you're on medication and you have a mental illness, sometimes your body chemistry changes. And so you have to go back into the hospital and get it readjusted.
But it's also, I think, weird for children because they're not sure what they're going to get each time.
Right, right.
Especially if you're not seeing someone on a regular basis. I think I remember his act and maybe his show too being a little like in your face.
Yeah.
About.
Oh yeah.
Things
it was,
like
he
that.
Was very much upfront about the whole thing.
Oh, that's cool.
And unfortunately, his mother did die eventually, and he talks about it a lot in his comedy and his TV show, and he's just extremely upfront about it, and I have to give him a lot of credit for
But he's also his humor is dark, but for me. Darker than Bill Burr's, because when you see Titus, he looks up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he always looks, like, bright and fresh scrubbed and, like, energetic. Like I said, like Tony Robbins. And then his material is, like...
extremely,
it just goes right for it.
So, he was born October 1st, 1964.
Mm-hmm.
He's been married twice. And
so
he has one child.
Yeah.
His show was on Fox, and it was called Titus, just like you were saying. It's brutal, hilarious, and audacious.
And it's off the air.
And he said that he was one of the most original comics since Seinfeld.
Who said that? Titus?
No.
You said he said
Newsday. Oh, I'm sorry. Newsday said it. No, he didn't say it.
I'm saying we're one of the most innovative podcasts.
So since the age of four, he was taken away from his father, and he lived with his grandparents on his mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
His father went to kidnap him back and inadvertently told a man about his plans, who was a district attorney. And so,
oh, his father is clearly eating brains for breakfast.
Christopher, when he was 12, he ran away to live with his mother, and then he lived in her garage for a while, and then moved back in with the father. It goes on and on. It's a very
disruptive
and very sad and very painful situation.
Out of which came some great comedy and a great half-hour show.
He had a show called Norman Rockwell is Bleeding. So Titus would claim that his father never missed a beer in his life, or a joint, or a party.
Wow.
Or a chance to get laid, but he never missed a day of work, or a house payment, or a car payment. And
he's a functioning alcoholic.
Right.
Right.
He said he never went hungry, although a couple of times his father did, so he wouldn't have to. So, you can see there's a lot of different...
did the best that he could with the craziness that he had.
Yeah, and so Christopher Titus had problems with alcohol and drugs during his adolescence, and once he was so drunk, he fell into a bonfire. And,
whoa!
Yeah, at a beach party, and his friends took him to the hospital, and the doctor said he would have died if he inhaled that smoke when he was in there.
That's crazy. I know there's a person from my past, I know, once who got so drunk, threw himself out of a second-story window, but was so drunk that, you know how drunks are.
Yeah,
he was all right. Walked away from it. But if you'd fallen and you'd been sober, you know, you would have been panicking on the way down. Like that, apparently, waving your arms. You would have hurt yourself.
Right.
Like a Warner Brothers cartoon, because you have that much time to run in the air.
So
that's the number two, Christopher Titus.
He has a show called Love is Evil, E-V-O-L. Okay. Another act called Nevolution. And he's going on. He airs a podcast called The Combustion Lounge.
Okay.
So again, another podcast.
Another podcaster.
Right. So this is Karen and Rod's discount.
Okay.
However, what I have to throw in there in the mix.
Did they tell us what the discount is served at?
Oh, heck no.
No.
They didn't tell us anything.
Oh, come on.
They left it to us
to do
the research.
So what do you think? Or you want to bring in number three?
I want to bring in somebody to knock them all.
Okay. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Is Louis C.K.
Oh, most definitely. He is
the A-lister out of all of them. So in order, I guess right now, it's Louis C.K. and then Bill. I like Christopher Titus. I'm going to have to.
So then give it to Christopher Titus.
I'm going to put him in the middle because of his.
So I would go in the, this is under the discount celebrity, I'm a white guy and I can't believe life is happening to me episode. Because that's when I think of Louis C.K., that's what I think of. Like, I can't believe this happened to me. Life. Me.
Yeah.
Me. I'm going
to
have a donut.
That's a subject to everyday life.
I'm going to have a donut.
I know, right? Self-depreciation.
Yeah.
Observational comedy. Black comedy. Surreal humor. He's been doing stand-up since 1985. And he's
American. Wow, it's a long time.
He's American and Mexican.
Yeah, somebody...
I didn't know that.
Somebody was floating something around the internet about how excited they were that he was Mexican, but he didn't do Mexican jokes. I'm like, because all his act is about being white.
Yeah, and
if he talked about...
I thought he was Irish. I thought he was one of these Irish...
But if it's like, fine, if you're part Mexican, but if nobody knows, and if you never say anything about it, I don't know what... And Mexican can mean a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, he was born September 12th, 1967, and he's 6 feet tall.
I'm sure that's in his act, too. How could that happen to him? The 12th of all days. Nobody wants to do anything then. I'm going to have a donut.
Yeah, he's won Emmys for writing on The Chris Rock Show, for writing on his show, Louie.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen The Chris Rock Show.
Oh, yeah?
Chris Rock is wearing glasses now that make it look like he went finished high school. He's got, like, you know what I mean? He's wearing, like, hipster glasses.
I know.
Yes.
And he looks like he finished high
school. Yeah, he looks like he finished high school and he should be wearing, like, a scarf. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. He's got opinions. Anyway.
So, Louis C.K., it was influenced by Richard Pryor, George Carlin, Robert Downey Sr.
Mm-hmm. Why'd you look at me for that? Robert, you're like, even Robert Downey Sr.
And Bill Cosby, Steve Martin, Lenny Bruce, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on.
Lenny Bruce. I love Lenny Bruce. And when people say they're inspired by him, I'm like, show it to me.
Yeah. Where?
Let me point see out you one date a hooker and get kicked off stage and, like, court-martialed.
Right. He does stand-up. He's television, film, writer, director, actor, all of these things.
He does
things.
It all. Yeah. And on his show,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah. And I think he's one of the first ones who has taped specials and then...
Sold it. Yeah.
And
which I think is genius.
Very cool.
I think it was $5 a piece. I always used to hear stories about how people would do these HBO specials and then they still be like, you know, get eating Chinese food out of the garbage. Like,
yeah.
Not getting any money at all. So that's cool that he did that.
Yeah. He was born in D.C., lived in Mexico City until the age of 7. His first language is Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And he still retains Mexican citizenship.
That's cool. And things get hot.
After moving from Mexico to Boston,
oh.
C.K. was discovered and became a writer and comedian. He and his 3 siblings were raised by their single mother in Newton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Newton.
Mass.
Thanks.
That's what my husband knows. He just says Mass.
He said, his primary reason for aspiring to produce movies and television was his mother. He said, I remember thinking in the 5th grade, I have to get inside that box and make this shit better because she deserves this.
So he's a black man, actually. He also wants to thank Jesus.
He is best friends with Marc Maron early on, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I like Marc Maron.
Yeah. And he's been on Marc Maron's podcast. He's opened up for Jerry Seinfeld. And he also was a writer on The Late Show with David Letterman, Conan O'Brien.
Definitely eclipsed these other two guys, probably because of his writing ability.
Yeah.
And I have to say, and you can probably tell, I'm not a huge fan of his, but I do respect what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how people think it's funny, and it is well written.
Yeah.
I just happen not to find it that interesting, because I know too many people like that.
Right, right.
But I'm like, really? That happened to you? Really? Life?
I think it's very funny, and I think he's a better actor than we all thought he would be.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Either that, or he's just really good at playing himself. Because does he play anything else but himself?
No, I don't think so. Because his other show was called Lucky Louie. And he dropped the Lucky.
He just made it Louie.
He also was a security guard on Role Models. And he was in Parks and Recreation as Amy Poehler's love
interest. I liked him in that.
It was really good.
I liked him so much in that I wasn't sure it was him. I had to check IMDb. I thought, who is this Mexican guy?
He's been on Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist, the Opie and Anthony Show, and he is married.
Really?
No, he's not.
Okay.
They divorced. He was married in 1995, divorced in 2008.
She got out of there.
He has 2 daughters.
Oh.
And they share custody. And he was raised Catholic, and he occasionally pokes fun at religion in his comedy. He doesn't say he doesn't believe in God.
So that means
he doesn't. He doesn't identify as an atheist, so he kind of is like...
It's like the people who are like, I'm not gay, but... I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm ambiguous about it. I'm not going to identify myself. Whereas the rest of us are like, no, I'm gay or straight.
Right. Exactly.
That's a good one. He's definitely the A-lister.
So he is the A-lister, and I'm gonna bump Christopher Titus up to the B, and Bill Burr is the C, and I like them all, actually.
Cool.
But the reasons why I'm present are obvious. Awards.
Accolades. His writing ability.
Writing ability, creative endeavors.
And frankly, probably just net.
I mean,
he's making tons of money right now. Not that these guys aren't making money, but I doubt they're making as much as he is. I mean, he's really in control of his production.
Right.
Cool. That was an excellent discussion.
I think it was
celebrity.
Very good. Thank you, Rob and Karen,
for
the Black
Guy
Who Tips, for helping us out with that. And, you know, I think we rounded it out nicely. And
yeah, it's a 3-way.
Don't forget Christopher Titus, everyone. I think he's going to come back.
Katie's going to bring him back.
I'm going to bring him back. That's going to be Chris. I'm all about Christopher Titus.
Oh, you're bringing Christopher Titus back.
Yeah.
So I have something here for the reality show roundup. Reality show roundup is every week I go on the internet, I find some reality shows that I'm probably not going to watch. because I think that what I think about the shows is probably more interesting than the shows, and I'm going to report on them. So these are new shows on Sci-Fi.
Really?
Yes.
New, all right. Is it the season now for new shows?
This came out a while ago, so these shows might be on or coming on. Because, you know, a lot of times on Sci-Fi Channel, they wait till, like, late January, February to bring on new shows. Wow. These shows, I'm guessing, are going to be, like, short.
Yeah, okay.
They're all reality shows. So they've greenlit, I don't know if that, green-lighted, I'm not sure what the past tense of that is, five new reality series. One is called Hot Set. Not as exciting as you would think. Basically, every week, two Hollywood production designers...
Oh, that kind of set. I thought it was going to be about boobs.
No! Oh, that would be awesome. Like a reality TV show where they had to do a boob job every week?
Or something. Or, like, there's a contest.
To do a makeover?
A makeover.
Under the knife.
Not even under the knife. Just with undergarments.
Oh. There is a show that's coming on now about fitting women for the correct bra.
Yeah, right.
I'm not kidding.
I know. I saw
how boring is this? It takes like, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
You walk into a store, they put the tape.
They're like, I know when a woman walks in what she needs.
It's a bra store.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Your elastic is worn out.
Yes.
And you're surprised they're walking in your store.
And that's all you sell is bras. No, they came in for a smoothie. All right. So Hot Set, they have to do a head-to-head battle to design, build, and decorate and create an original and signature movie set. That's pretty cool.
All right.
Then Paranormal Highway.
Ooh, see? You know that I love that.
Yep. Paranormal Highway puts the pedal to the metal. It's with Jack Osborne. Is that one of the Ozzy Osbourne's
kids? Yeah, I think so.
I mean, who cares? And then some woman named Dana Workman. They go alone and they self-document frightening claims of paranormal activity along America's back roads. This is the cheapest show ever.
There's no set whatsoever.
It's just two people hotboxing in a car, like in the middle of nowhere. And then trying to get some shadows.
Yeah.
And then
scaring themselves silly.
When I was a little kid.
They should look for the Slender Man if they're out
the
Groban woods.
Man?
Yes.
Yeah, they should look for him. That would be interesting. How about just the Groban Man?
They should get caught by him and then film it.
But you know, nothing ever happens on these shows. It's like Bear Witch.
Blair Witch.
Is it Blair Witch?
You said Bear Witch. Because you're thinking of Hot Sets.
Yeah, Hot Set. So there's another one called Collection Intervention. Mm-hmm. It follows a woman who I've never heard of, who's a sharp and to-the-point collectibles expert. So she's breaking it down.
That's right.
In the collectibles world. She helps couples who are divided over what to do with their memorabilia. Whether it's a husband's collection of G.I. Joe figures or a girlfriend's treasure trove of Star Wars movie posters.
What?
Exactly.
Ooh, what girlfriend?
I don't know. I guess these are two people who are into that genre.
Right.
She helps them decide what to sell and what to keep, and then they use that money for an engagement ring or a down payment or a honeymoon they never had.
Aww.
My favorite part of this show, which I'm not going to watch, is one of the producers' names is Elizabeth Grizzle Voorhees.
That's
how
nice.
How awesome.
All right.
Go Grizzle.
Lizzie Grizzle.
And I'll give you one more. Ghost Mine.
Ghost Mine?
Yes,
is that like Enemy Mine where you're trapped on a hostile planet with a ghost?
I wish.
And then you have to learn to get along?
With Louis Gossett Jr.?
Yeah.
Maybe.
As a ghost.
Yeah. But in a deeper voice, yeah. Right? An authoritative ghost. In the remote woods of Oregon lays one of the richest gold mines in the United States. It's been abandoned until now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Soon to be opened by a scraggly group of miners. Scraggly.
Are there
souls.
Any other kinds of miners?
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to look into the paranormal history. So I thought this one was actually interesting, so I looked into it. And apparently there's this mining town. It was the biggest mining town, like, in the country. And then it just burnt to the ground.
And there's a picture
of it burning.
I thought, you know what? I immediately jumped to that, like, the gold was gone. Like And that's what I thought. I'm not laughing
and
at
And when
it.
They came back,
I'm
there
not
was...
laughing at a town burning to the ground. Like, that's what you get.
Yeah, it was miners. 1917. They were probably racist and everything else.
All right.
The mines are played out, is what they said. And they've been closed forever. And now a colorful team of miners who are strong-willed and superstitious are going to go into the mine and try to make their fortune. And then I guess while they're in there, they're going to be aided by, of course, paranormal investigators who unravel mysteries surrounding time and the mine and the Masonic connections the mine has.
Oh, God.
The Masons. Of course. So what are they going to find in the mine? Nothing.
Nothing. On top of a pyramid.
Yes, an eye on top of a pyramid.
No.
So would you... you watch some of the ghost shows. What do they show you? Do they show anything?
No. I mean, like, you see... Sometimes you'll see, like, a door move by itself. nobody.
We've
knows,
all seen Paranormal Activities 1 through 4,
or like a blanket move, or something like that. Something very. And once we over the course of 7 hours, they did a time lapse thing where like a lamp on a table like slid across the table, but very only about like 3 inches.
Oh,
that was exciting. But you know, I only like TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal.
Is that a group?
Society, yeah.
Okay.
And that's the TAPS.
TAPS,
yeah,
okay.
It's, well, it's Ghost Hunters. That's what they it do. Is.
All right.
I only like them. I only like the two guys.
You like the celebrity ghost story.
Oh, and then but
now,
my
see,
favorite.
That's interesting because of the celebrity.
Yeah, and then they do reenactments.
Well, there's going to be reenactments in here. I hope to see authentic Myers.
There's nothing better than a celebrity
reenactment.
And also, there's a spinoff of Celebrity Ghost Stories, which is the haunting of, and then they take
the children of celebrities?
No, the celebrity. So that what, they take one of those stories from Celebrity Ghost Stories, and then they get a medium. And then the celebrity goes back to the place where they had the experience.
And
then
the
medium talks to the ghosts. Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's awesome. Regis.
I thought it was going to be like children of celebrities who see ghosts. So that's what sci-fi is working
on. I think that's like a niche.
Yes.
How many? You're going to say that.
Ghost minds. I want to see it be like Indiana Jones in the mines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to see them just fake some craziness in there.
Right.
I want to see all kinds of stuff going on. I'm not going to watch any of these shows. I just find it fascinating. I wonder if any of them are gonna make it.
I hope. Well, we'll see. The cream will rise.
Yes, the cream will rise. Elizabeth Grizzle Voorhees is on the case.
Yeah. Sweet.
I don't know if this is advice. I don't know what to call it. Just in case, Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
Yeah, and it's unqualified, so we have to take that advice and improve upon it by giving advice on that advice.
Yeah, so here's a piece of advice. How can you hypnotize people?
Oh!
Have you
great
ever
question.
Been hypnotized or seen
yes.
a show? You've been hypnotized?
Yes.
It worked?
No.
What did you... Did you pretend to go along with it?
I had my eyes closed, and the hypnotist was like, was giving me these suggestions to keep me relaxed and like put me in a state of like where, like you're walking along a beach or whatever it was. You're in a meadow or something like that. And I was like, one eye open, like, no, I don't like meadows.
trying to guide the meditation your way. Too controlling to be hypnotized. Look, I don't want to be on a beach. I don't want to be at the ocean at all.
I don't like humidity.
Yeah. I don't want to be on a cliff. I don't like heights.
I like snow, but I want to be inside and looking out at the snow.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
So he's like, so now you're inside looking out at the snow. Forget it.
Ooh. Am I in a resort town? I want to be in a resort town.
Yes.
That's
is it nice? Or is it just on the cusp?
Yeah.
It's 2.5 stars?
Am I in Aspen or am I in Vail?
Oh, God. So what was this? What were the circumstances of the hypnotism?
No, whatever it was that I wanted it.
Oh, you wanted
I wanted to have it done.
But you were fighting it? That
I
would be me.
I fought it the whole way.
That's why I haven't done it. So this is, at the top it says, command them. So how can you hypnotize people? Is it difficult to hypnotize someone? And it says here that you don't need to have any special powers. Like, that's possible to hypnotize people.
You don't have to have powers?
You don't have to be X-Men. You don't have to have any special powers whatsoever. If you learn these simple techniques, you can do it properly. So first of all, the guy says, there are two ways you can hypnotize people. First is with their permission.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is without. So the second kind is called covert hypnosis.
Oh.
And then it explains in covert hypnosis, you hypnotize others without them knowing. Really? Is that the covert part?
That's...
And then it reiterates, the person does not know that you're hypnotizing, hence the covert part. It's the sad fact that most people use...
I think they explain that in 5 different ways, and then you're asleep.
Yes.
And then they think you're
hypnotizing. That's what I was thinking. He's hypnotizing.
Yeah.
It's a sad fact. Most people use covert hypnosis for dishonest purposes.
Of course
they do. Why would I be doing it for your own good? If I get tired of what's happening, I'm just going to be like, sleep.
Well, the only other reason you would do it is for entertainment. Like, you're in a magic show. And
but those people agree to be hypnotized. They don't hypnotize people from the audience.
Right.
And just pull
you
up. Because you would sue. And it says, most experts don't condone the covert hypnotism.
Most.
But some will do it, so watch out.
3 out of 5 don't condone. The other 2.
So here are the quick and easy steps. This technique is called the handshake induction. Is this the one you did?
Ew.
Have the person sit in front of you. It says in parentheses, face on face. I think they meant face to face. But face on face. You sit yourself too.
Okay.
And have the person put their hand on top of yours, palm to palm.
Yeah, no, nobody's doing that. No, I don't think anyone's going to do that.
It's happening. Oh. And then you tell the person, look into my eyes and continue looking until I say something. And I guess something else.
Then where are you supposed to look?
In their eyes.
But then when they say something, then where do you look?
In a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'll press my hand down on your hands, and you'll be pressing up on mine. And then I'll say, one, two, three, push, push, push. The person has to push hard on your hand.
Oh.
And then...
You have to work?
Yeah. Yes. It says, now as you continue to press down, I want you to develop a feeling like you're up too late at night watching an old black and white movie. You should go to bed, but you're too tired. You feel your eyes are droopy. You're closing, drowsy, and then boom, sleep. You just yell out sleep.
And that's it. And then you're hypnotized.
Boom. You're done.
So you're so the hypnotist says, it's like you're watching an old black and white movie.
Mm-hmm. Sleep. Then they yell sleep at you. And that's it. It's an important, but when you're done, you have to say sleep, and you have to have your hands over the person's eyes and you wave it in front of them quickly and you say sleep, then you're done.
Oh, geez. It's like the...
But it reiterates that last part has to be done correctly. Otherwise, it's not going to work. If you want to know more, you have to ask Michael Masterman.
Who's Michael Masterman?
He's the guy who's a world-renowned training in hypnotism. Yeah. Okay. So that's how... I've always wanted to know how to hypnotize somebody.
Now you know.
Now I know. I mean, I didn't know it was that easy. Seems like something you would study for a long time.
I don't even know if I'm hypnotized with you. Maybe you did some covert hypnotizing on me.
You'd be wearing your bra on the outside. That's what they do in the magic shows.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what you're hypnotizing someone to do, to put their bra on the outside? That's going to happen to all of us eventually.
Right.
When we get to a certain age. There's no need. I don't find that funny.
Yeah.
Or they also make people act like a chicken for some reason. I say you should get people to act like some other bird.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Like
go through a whole series.
A cardinal.
A series of bird impressions.
Yes.
Right?
Baltimore Orioles.
Right.
Blue Jays. Just teams.
Right. What's the other one? The Finch. Be a Finch.
Really? That's very specific.
Yeah.
The Finches.
The Finches. They have
the
like
Hoboken
a little,
Finches.
Yeah, they have little, like, it looks like their feathers on top look like a little
do
flat
they do
top.
Something specific?
No.
Okay.
Oh, nothing.
So that's how you hypnotize people. That's, and actually, I'm going to say, for the first time ever, great advice. No, this is awful. It's not going to work. Great
but
advice.
But that's the agreeable hypnosis.
Well, yeah, this is the way, because they're not going to tell you how to do it the covert way
they
until
you
buy
you.
His book.
Oh, what a...
Yep. It, how to hypnotize. For the unofficial hypnotist course list, view our page with details and several online hypnosis courses. I would never take this course online because I'd be afraid I'd be getting hypnotized.
Right. And not only that, I think that
anyone
who buys this book or is interested in it, then they should be made known to the police.
I'm sure the FBI has a trace on that book.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, why? I bet you one of the courses is like covert hypnotism only. Like covert hypnotism 101, 102.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, we can't have the public running around covertly.
Master's thesis on covert hypnotism.
Covertly hypnotizing people.
Yeah, or they may already be doing it.
Who
Tony
knows?
Robbins does it, I heard.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. That's one of his techniques to make people... But he's hypnotizing people to have them pay, you know, $8,000
right.
for like a weekend. But also to feel better about themselves. Now on to you. I know you've got something there. Men want more sex.
Yeah, there's...
Hey, you didn't know it.
No.
Is that that? That's that
It was
segment.
six things, six myths about men and women in sex.
Okay.
All right. And basically it says, they bulleted a few points here. And it says here, men think about sex more than women do, which is one of the
How
myths.
How do they know that?
Right.
Okay, it's a myth.
Yeah, the cliche that men think about sex every 7 seconds is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's true that men think about sex more often than women do, they also think about other bodily needs, such as food, sleep, more than women do.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just preoccupied with their bodies.
Yeah. Okay,
That's
believe
what they're
that.
Saying.
But it's not like we're having lofty thoughts over here. You know? Like, I'm thinking about world peace.
It says here, in a study, a 2011 study, the Journal of Sex Research, psychologists asked researcher participants to record their thoughts throughout the day. Really?
Oh, my. Talk about self-censoring, you know, selecting what you're going to say. Come on, that's not legitimate.
Yeah, they found...
You should have people get drunk and then record what they say.
Yeah, they found that men pondered sex 18 times a day more to a woman's 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
But men also thought about food and sleep proportionately more than women.
So they're having fleeting thoughts about foolish things more often.
Yeah.
Is what
about,
this is saying.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta scratch myself.
Right.
Wait, I gotta scratch myself.
And but what I like is this this comment made by Helen C.
Okay. Helen C. giving it to him, giving us the business.
Yeah, from California. She says, I was replying to the article that said women don't think about sex. That is pure baloney. And I was attempting to explain why. Most guys don't think about sex as often as those college students they examine in the tests either. Well, at age 75, I am still horny as hell.
Thank you, Helen C.
But you would be surprised at the men out there who know nothing. Plus, of course,
wait, what's going on? She's had a lot of unsuccessful couplings with men.
Yeah,
recently.
I guess so. She doesn't know anything.
She's 75. She's a woman of the world. Men, if you want to get with Helen, so you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, she says. Plus, of course, it helps if there's some attractive males that turn me on too. Last one was only 22, so that didn't happen. More's the pity.
Wow. This woman has never been satisfied
in her life.
She's a 75-year-old woman. She's having sex with a man 50 years younger than her. She's still not happy about it.
Yeah.
What does she think he's going to know that she doesn't know? He's got a lot of catching up to do. That's interesting. I don't know how they come up with these. You know, a goldfish has a memory of like 3 seconds.
Right. How do they know?
I don't know. I worry about that whenever I go to the Chinese food restaurant and those fish are jammed in there like that. I feel bad.
Right. You know, but also, I mean, maybe the thing that they're asking them to remember is very boring.
I've been
over this.
In my nightmarish mind, the fish are like, it's too small in here. Oh, it's too small in here. Like, they're just rediscovering how small it is every 3 minutes. That's awful. That's not a positive
in their
thing.
Own hell.
Yeah, in their own little hell.
Yeah, some other myths are men want sexy women and women want status. Mm-hmm. Women have far fewer orgasms than men do, blah, blah,
I guess
blah.
It depends on the men you're with.
Yeah.
Or the ladies, you're a lady for ladies.
Right. Men want more sex partners than women, and men like casual sex more than women do. All false.
Oh, yeah. So
Katie
made quick work. Of this survey.
That's all. I can't even, you know, go on with this. Cause
it's amazing to me that I feel like that survey comes out at least 4 or 5 times a year. Like, those results come out increasingly.
Yeah. And they say that women are pickier than men, but then they just say that more men hit on women, so women can say yes and no more often.
Yeah. I mean, you should see what's out there. If they should show with Polaroids each of the guys that approaches you during a day, and
yeah.
then you'll see why people are picky.
Yeah, just guys approach. They just simply, yeah, you know, women don't approach guys.
And I asked the guy about it. He's like, hey, it's free. And one of them might say something. I'm like, that's very romantic. Yeah. That's very romantic.
Cherishes the word I used to describe.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a lovely gentleman. So yeah. I think we should probably wrap up. Do you want to give the end
yes.
kickoff?
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Go ahead and go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review and we will read it on the air and it qualifies you for a Hey You Know It shot glass.
Yep.
We'll send it to you. And if you send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, we will read your email on the air, whatever you say. Why don't you follow us on Tumblr, follow us on Twitter, and what else? Anything else?
No, I think we've covered all media. Smoke signals, telegraphs, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Message in a bottle.
So thank you for listening.
Now, like, is that a thing in Catholicism? Is it, because I know you guys have all these sacraments, you have all these things you have to do. Is
yeah.
there a formal renunciation?
There is no.
Okay.
No, I think once you're in, you're in.
Okay.
And you're always
you can't
gonna,
get out.
Yeah.
You can
really
be lapsed, but that's it.
Yeah. It's always you're looked down upon.
You know what? He thinks he's renouncing it. He hasn't. He can't.
Yeah.
You have to wait for them to renounce you.
Bill Burr, I understand you. I have renounced Catholicism.
You've renounced it?
Well, in my
in your own way. But you can't leave the fold.
Yeah.
I renounced blackness about 15 years ago. You see, I'm still here.
You're still
doesn't
black.
Matter. Yeah, they won't let me go. It's like the mob. You can't get out.